global leaders, political and religious, behind the scenes. You will receive information regarding America and prophecy, tyrants and wars, the New World Order, and much more. As always, these materials are shipped to you at no charge. Please call 1-888-211-1715. That's 1-888-211-1715. And ask for Packet B.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
This is Communication Network. Coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our callers. Well, today, hopefully, we're going to have our good friend Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief with us. But until Joel arrives, I thought we could ask some piercing questions. Why are we fighting in Afghanistan today? Well, why did we go to war in Afghanistan? We were told we had to attack Afghanistan to catch the wicked Osama bin Laden because he was responsible for the deaths of 3,000 Americans. Wasn't that the reason that we went to war with Afghanistan? But then, of course, why didn't we pursue him when he escaped into Pakistan? Now, of course, if you study what really happened, you'll find out that we could have captured Osama bin Laden. We had our troops there. We had our special forces troops. Bin Laden was trapped in the Torabor Mountains. And instead of allowing the special forces troops to go in and get Osama bin Laden, dead or alive, as the president promised, why the Pentagon wouldn't let the special forces go in. They used a lot of Afghan mercenaries, many of whom supported bin Laden, and he's allowed to escape. Now, if you want to document that, that's covered in a book called Crude Politics. We still have copies of it, although there aren't very many more, but that deals with a gentleman who actually interviewed many of the special forces men when they came back from the Afghan campaign. They wanted to get bin Laden. They were there. They could have got bin Laden, and they weren't allowed to. But be that as it may, so Osama bin Laden escapes into Pakistan. If we went to war and risked the lives of Americans and Afghans to catch Osama bin Laden, it was so important we had to go to war, then why didn't we pursue bin Laden into Pakistan? After all, it was all right to attack Afghanistan to catch Osama bin Laden. Why wasn't it all right to attack Pakistan to get Osama bin Laden? And just assure them that all we wanted to do was get Osama bin Laden. We didn't want to occupy their country. But we didn't do that. We didn't do anything that was logical. We then turned around and attacked Iraq. Why would you attack Iraq when Osama bin Laden is the man who was responsible for the killing of the Americans? And certainly Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein hated one another. Why? Because, of course, Osama bin Laden wanted to stir up the radical Islamic faction within Iraq, and Saddam Hussein wouldn't allow it. So there was nothing no relationship between terrorism and Iraq. So why did we attack Iraq? Well, let me suggest you go to my website, RadioLiberty.com, and pull down my 2006, January 2006 newsletter. You'll read things there you'll never read elsewhere. Did you know that Iraq offered to surrender, that Saddam Hussein offered to leave the country, take his family with him, and go into exile? Bet you never read that anyplace. Well, read my January 2006 newsletter. You're going to have to do that, because right now we have Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. Hi, Joel. How are you this afternoon?
Just fine, Dr. Stan. It's good to be with you.
Well, why don't you pick up the story and tell us what's going on in the world?
Well, continuing with your theme on Iraq, there is some indication that the administration is trying to play up the success of the present military action in Baghdad, but I think that really is questionable. It's very obvious that the Mehdi army and the Bata Brigade have decided to go underground and not do any active resistance. The resistance is taking place in the form of massive car bombings that are happening and truck bombings at various places. And this obviously makes the U.S. look bad. 15 minutes after they were in the Baghdad marketplace last week, all of a sudden there was a huge explosion that took out 163 lives. So it's very obvious that the U.S. presence, increased military presence, is not deterring.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment with Joel.
Okay.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at berkeywater.com.
Government is best, which governs least.
Wake up and smell the fascism.
Being in government means never having to say you're sorry.
What part of unconstitutional do you not understand, George?
In today's world full of tyranny and injustice, sometimes it seems the only thing we still have is our freedom of speech. Exercise your freedom of speech by purchasing your choice of hundreds of different Liberty stickers, from humorous to serious, at LibertyStickers.com. LibertyStickers.com can even customize your own bumper stickers. It's time to stand up for what you believe. Invest in your freedom. Get your stickers at LibertyStickers.com for your family, friends, and community. Go to LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626. And express your freedom of speech today. Call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626.
Attention, this is an urgent GCN news bulletin. Do you desperately need to get out of debt fast? Would you like to make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're a GCN listener, there's a very real chance that you'll now be able to do it. Here's why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're cheating, but they're not. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Learn how to finally teach those financial vultures some humility by beating them at their own game, and above all, learn how to bail out for a soft landing. Get control, get relief, get some sleep. Go to www.outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com. Or call 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest is Joel Skousen, and you pick up the story there, Joel.
Well, we're talking about Iraq, Dr. Stan. The BBC is reporting that U.S., they've got some inside information on actual U.S. Iran attack plans, and they revealed that U.S. contingency plans for airstrikes on Iran extend far beyond the nuclear sites and include most of the country's military infrastructure. And as I reported last week from other sources, it also includes a lot of civilian infrastructure in terms of power plants. Just like in Kosovo, they knocked down a lot of the bridges, power plants, and dams so that they essentially bring the country to its knees and force change. So not only would they target Iranian air bases, naval facilities, missile facilities, and command and control centers. I mean, this is a massive amount. Iran has a huge military, and this is a massive amount of bombardment. We can expect to see not only B-1 bombers, but B-2 bombers, airstrikes from carrier task force groups, and perhaps even missile strikes from the U.S. launching deep penetration missiles, whether either conventional. They have been changing over some of the nuclear missiles to conventional missiles for use in just such plans. So it's hard to tell when this is going to occur, but certainly the my sources in Israel indicate that Israel is planning for just this type of a war, and we can expect it coming. You know, the Israeli government is under a lot of pressure right now due to the tremendous corruption charges. The president has resigned. The latest chief of all the police forces resigned on corruption charges. It seems to be there's a mafia control system. What we're really seeing there, of course, is the tip of the iceberg. Israel has the same problem the U.S. does, is that we have a globalist conspiracy that actually controls government, and they pretend to be right-wing. They pretend to be conservative, just as our government does. And this is how they maintain power under these pretensions. But these things are coming unraveled because these people do have a tremendous amount of corruption. The U.S. form of corruption, of course, is corporate insider government relationships. And we now know that the squandering of money in Iraq is nearly six times as large as what the top three government auditors said last fall. This new audit that has come out showed that corruption has squandered at least $10 billion in public money on Iraq reconstruction and overcharges, unsubstantiated expenses. But one of the biggest things that this audit has shown, Dr. Stan, is that there's no accountability. David M. Walker, who heads the auditing arm of Congress, said organizations charged with overseeing contracts were not held accountable, and those were contractors charged with overseeing contracts. And the contractors that they chose to oversee the contracts were themselves under investigation for corruption. Contractors were not held accountable, so the overseers were not held accountable, contractors were not held accountable, and the individuals responsible for the corruption were not held accountable.
Well, you know, because I saw the Custer Battles, you know, who obviously is in all sorts of shenanigans over there. They're taken to court, and the judge lets them off on a technicality. And you just wonder, I mean, here you're talking a company that's made $100 million or more, maybe twice that much. And, you know, there's all sorts of irregularities, and they always seem to get off when they're brought to court or challenged for what they've done. It's almost like there's an invisible force behind Custer Battles. DeJoli, are there?
Yes, I'm back. Thank you, Dr. Stan. I just had an emergency I had to take care of. In any case, what this appears to be the good old network, this is just incredible. In other words, nobody's been held responsible. Nobody's gone to jail for these contractors for literally bilking the American taxpayer out of millions and millions of dollars. So the contractors are not held accountable. They're still getting new contracts. And the people who are overseeing the contracts are not being held accountable, and they're being given still the job to oversee these contracts. So this is just an incredible situation, and Congress tolerates it, the American public tolerate it, and that's mostly because the media does not make a drumbeat of it. They report the news, but they have learned long ago that if you don't make a drumbeat of something, the American people will never get upset enough to really protest.
Well, Halliburton seems to be getting away with all sorts of things over there.
Oh, yes. Brown & Root, you know, the subsidiary of Halliburton, has still got contracts. Halliburton themselves have not been cut off, and they have been fined certain things. But, you know, it's easy to handle even millions of dollars of fines when you're being given new contracts to make up the difference.
Sure.
And that's, you know, they're being rewarded rather than having consequences. Now, one of the most interesting things that's happening is that there is more and more information coming out. Asia Times just put out a very interesting article telling how the former Iranian ambassador and Islamic Republic insider has provided details to Asia Times about U.S. covert operations inside Iran aimed at destabilizing the country and toppling the regime. Now, the U.S. denies that they're doing any of this, but what's most interesting is that the Iranian government knows about these infiltrations, and they somehow are keeping quiet about it themselves. They should be raising all kinds of cane about U.S. Violation of their sovereignty. The U.S. is trying to be careful in the sense that they're using surrogates to do this, but obviously the information is out there, and I think the Iranian government could prove that the U.S. is behind it. They haven't been able to capture any of the U.S. Special Forces that go in prior to any attack to designate targets. They place electronic devices that can be used as homing devices for, and they aren't turned on until they're needed. But you know, if they do catch any of these things, any of these people, I'm not sure why they're being silent about these things. Of course, we have always questioned for a long time, you and I, Dr. Stan, about why President Ahmadinejad, you know, is purposely inflaming world opinion and doing some very stupid things towards undermining Iran's position and making it look like the rogue state that the U.S. wants to portray it as. It's almost as if this president in Iran has a death wish.
Well, it's almost, of course, you studied the whole situation there going all the way back into the early 80s when Hezbollah, which is, of course, Iranian finance, you know, was behind the bombing of the American embassy in Beirut and the bombing of the Marine barracks. And Robert Baer, in his book, See No Evil, and he was a CIA agent, said the CIA knew about it ahead of time and didn't try to stop it and then didn't take any action. So it's almost as if everything is a mirage. Everything is planned. Everything is coordinated. And, of course, we go back to 1979 when the CIA, you know, was in there toppling the Shah. And then we gave the ultimatum to the Shah, you will leave tomorrow. And, of course, he did leave. And then the CIA helped the Ayatollahs to come to power. So nothing is as it appears to be. And I think people have to understand that there seems to be forces behind the scenes that most people are totally unaware of.
You know, even here in our own country, Dr. Stan, we have numerous calls for additional investigations, whether it's on the Ramos-Compion Border Patrol issue, and I'll cover that in just a few minutes. There's some new information that's come out today which shows that they're most likely going to get a mistrial if they can ever get a hearing before an appeals court. But one of the things we have to understand is that the judges here in the United States are almost always complicit with government. There's the example of Julie Myers, who is one of the higher-ups in DHS, or Department of Homeland Security, Immigration Enforcement. And she was actually ruled in violation of a court order. This was a raid at the Greeley meatpacking plant in December of 2006, and U.S. District Judge John Cain signed an order after the raids that prohibited federal agents from sending detainees in that raid out of state. Now, Julie Myers of ICE, or Immigration Customs Enforcement, violated that rule, defied and ignored the judge's orders, and sent the detainees out of state. It was an act of contempt, abuse of authority, and, you know, basic thumbing their nose at the courts. So what did the courts do? Absolutely nothing. There was no discipline whatsoever. These people could be arrested and thrown in jail for violating a court order, but the court does not enforce it. We have found that with the District of Columbia Court, many times finding the in FOIA cases where the CIA is in contempt of the court to turn over certain documents, and the courts never send any of these people to jail. So what happened in the Ramos and Compion investigation is that what there is a law, Dr. Stan, that states that when you actually the prosecution is supposed to deliver to the defense attorneys any evidence that they have about a witness that's going to testify against their defendants. So we have this Border Patrol agent Sanchez, who is this one who was given immunity, who has done much wrong in setting up railroading Ramos and Compion, the two Border Patrol agents who shot the smuggler, railroading them into prison. And now we find out that the prosecution had in their hands a memo written by Sanchez, who they had put on the stand, where he had admitted that, in fact, there were some seven Border Patrol agents that had descended to assist Ramos and Compion, and afterwards, this included two supervisors, that they had picked up all the brass, meaning the shell brass casings that are left over after the shooting. They'd gone around and picked them up and concealed them and disposed of them. Now, this was crucial evidence. This was material evidence to the defense, which the prosecution was legally liable to have presented the defense before they cross-examined Sanchez. They did not. They withheld this document. Now it's in the hands of the defense attorneys, and they are jubilant because now they have evidence to declare a mistrial. So the evidence looks, or the situation looks very good that they'll be able to get this declared a bad trial and get a new trial. This is getting hot. You've got congressmen calling for an investigation, and even though they can continue to, I think, undermine, the heat from the public and on the Internet is getting so strong that the administration may be looking for a way out on the Ramos-Campion issue.
Well, let's hope that those innocent guys get out of prison. We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Hello, Ted Anderson. Listeners of the network are familiar with the Federal Reserve note and understand the risks of deficit spending. Therefore, with catastrophic events, it comes as no surprise that some banks have currently placed limits on the amount of cash depositors can remove from their accounts. A fractional reserve system means only a small portion of your deposit is held in reserve for immediate withdrawal. Deficit spending will skyrocket through FDIC if the government is forced to insure deposits during a bank run followed by a depressed economy. A current effort is underway by the Fed, along with other central banks, to increase liquidity for depositors. However, an increase in money supply without equal expansion in productivity can cause inflation. In order to achieve strength and stability, I recommend a conservative portion of all investments to be calmly repositioned into gold and silver. While paper investments currently have been driven by debt, gold on its own has held value for over 6,000 years. For more information, call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Joel Skousen. We're simply talking about, lots of things, and simply the tragedy of really what is taking place as far as the two Border Patrol officers who were actually, sent to prison on trumped-up charges in an effort to demoralize the rest of the Border Patrol. And certainly they were involved in a shooting. Now we find out that they reported to the supervisor. The supervisor said, well, let's not put a report in here. Looks like a good shoot. And certainly, instead of going after the drug smuggler, who had committed a crime, bringing 700 pounds of marijuana into our country, they went after those Border Patrolmen and said, well, everybody has to obey the law. Well, why didn't the federal attorney obey the law? If he withheld information, if he held information that should have been turned over to the defense, then he is a lawbreaker and he should go to prison. But don't hold your breath, ladies and gentlemen. They have two sets of laws, one for them and one for us common folks. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, we were talking in general about the fact that you can't depend on the courts or Congress to really oppose. The opposition is phony, and the courts, more and more, as I pointed out, are not bringing any of these federal officials to account, even when they openly defy the courts with contempt. Now, conservatives are left with asking, what do we do about this, especially with an election coming up? And I'd like to discuss for a few minutes the candidacy of Ron Paul. I don't think your audience needs any introduction to Ron Paul, and you and I both know Ron and his qualifications. But what is interesting is that the establishment media realizes that Bush is extremely unpopular with a growing groundswell of true constitutional conservatives. They're coming out of the woodwork to start to attack Ron Paul in very subtle ways. I mentioned, I think, last week that when I listened to the Jim Lehrer NewsHour, that when they gave a rundown of all of the Republican candidates who were either prospective or declared candidates for the presidency, that was what they were claiming, they left out Ron Paul, even though he had filed for a prospective run at the presidency, had made several public announcements at the National Press Club. He's a U.S. congressman. This is not a nobody. But they left his name out. And now George Will, who is one of the pseudo-conservatives writing for Newsweek, wrote an article called...
I was just going to say he's a member of this Council on Foreign Relations, so you know where he's coming from. Go ahead.
That's correct. But he wrote an article called Cheerful Anachronism. Notice that he didn't say cheerful man of principle. And, this has been noted in the conservative movement that when the establishment takes time out to start to knock someone who isn't even being given any press by the mainstream media, the main frontrunners are McCain, Romney, and Giuliani, and Ron Paul isn't being discussed, but when they come out and do a full-page article, this is actually an attempt to defuse the candidacy of Ron Paul, which they know is going to have a major impact on this election if they are ever to allow him to get some airtime, which they won't, of course. But he basically took some very careful sleight-of-hand cuts at Ron Paul, calling him an anachronism in the title, for example. In essence, his attitude, George Will's attitude, seems condescending, dismissive, I would say. He perfectly illustrates that what those that consider themselves in the centrist, that only centrists are allowed in the political discussion. You must shed your, quote, silly ideological convictions at the door. You will not be allowed a seat at the table. So, in any case, if you look carefully at the words that George Will, used, he took a great deal of time to make it appear as if he was complimentary to Paul as a man of principles, and yet cut him down with such statements as, let me see if I could find an appropriate quote. He said, Paul believes with more stubbornness than evidence that the federal government is a government of strictly enumerated powers. Now think about that, Dr. Stan. How can anyone say that Paul believes out of stubbornness rather than evidence that the government is restricted to enumerated powers? That's exactly what the Constitution says. This isn't stubbornness. All you've got to do is read the document, and the federal government is absolutely restricted to the enumerated powers. The Tenth Amendment, you can't even be a reader and make the statement that George Will did. I mean, that's how egregious that statement is.
But, of course, George Will represents the establishment. The establishment hates the Constitution. They hate freedom. They hate anything that will limit their power because they control both political parties and make mockery of our electoral process. And, of course, the only thing that's going to save America, other than God's intervention, is going to be to get back to our Constitution and hold our elected representatives and limit the power of government over the lives of the American people. We'll be right back.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com or call 877-300-7645.
Hi, I'm Joyce Riley, and many of you know that for years I was a cardiovascular heart transplant nurse. Since that time, I have educated myself on the importance of preventative care. It all begins with providing your heart and vascular system with the building blocks for good health. Strauss Heart Drops is the original formula that was copied by others but never duplicated. Strauss Heart Drops were developed by a master herbalist, Jim Strauss, after he suffered a heart attack in 1979. His doctor said he would only survive if he had heart bypass surgery, and Jim said no. He developed Strauss Heart Drops, the formula that has been copied by others but never been surpassed. Get the original Strauss Heart Drops 4-ounce bottle for only $79.99. Call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. You've probably heard about the other products that have tried to copy the Strauss formula. Well, get the original Strauss Heart Drops by calling 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Now you can really do your heart right with Strauss Heart Drops.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
According to a recent report by the National Institute of Health, high blood pressure is a major risk factor for heart disease and the chief risk factor for stroke and heart failure. It affects about 50 million Americans. That's one in four adults. Because many people have high blood pressure for years without knowing it, the American Heart Association calls it the silent killer. At ResearchedHerbs.com, we recognize your concern for your well-being. As your online partner in health, we are committed to empowering you with the resources you need to make informed health decisions about high blood pressure. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com to learn more about heart care, the widely researched natural herbal supplement for regulating blood pressure and maintaining optimum heart health. Did you know that the safety and effectiveness of heart care is backed by over 100 clinical trials and experimental studies? Act now. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call us at 1-800-845-3841 to start protecting yourself from the silent killer. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Joel Skousen. Before we go on, Joel, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get a copy of the World Affairs Brief and where they can get the information that they need to know what's really going on in the world?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. The World Affairs Brief is my weekly news analysis service. There is a modest subscription for this service, and you can read all about it on my website, www.worldaffairsbrief.com. The website has a lot of free material from the archives, especially I concentrate on the cover-ups that our government has been involved in. That's on the right-hand column. On the left-hand column of the website, you have a lot of reviews of some of the books that I've written and links to my other website, joelskousen.com. But in the center, you have my research staff posts all of the their major news stories of each day, at least the best versions of those. So it really is kind of a pre-filtered version that helps you get only the best stories each day, and that's of course free. If you want a sample copy your listeners want a sample copy of the current edition of the World Affairs Brief to see if they might like to subscribe, they can email me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. That's editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And if you forget that, you can just go to worldaffairsbrief.com, and it says that on the synopsis of every weekly brief, how to get a sample copy of it. So, we welcome all inquiries. Dr. Stan, are you there?
Yes, I was just going to say, I was wanted to commend the publication to my listeners. I read it on a regular basis. I look forward to the monthly weekly commentary. But more than that, I go to World Affairs Brief every morning after I go through my emails and certainly find out what's really going on in the world today. So take advantage of it, and certainly the charge is minimal. Go right ahead. Pick up the story there, Joel.
Well, I'd like to switch gears now and go over to the North Korean pact. It's just incredible, Dr. Stan, that the U.S., after claiming that they would never deal one-on-one with North Korea, have been holding secret talks in Berlin with North Korean representatives, and they've done a sellout again of their supposedly hard and fast position. As you remember, the United States signed some nuclear accords under the Clinton administration with North Korea in 1994, wherein the North Korea agreed to give up its nuclear program in exchange for the U.S. building, at no charge to the North Koreans, two nuclear power plants. Of course, that was a giveaway with export-import money to the major nuclear industry corporations who are starving. Environmentalists won't let them build anything here in the United States, but they're building around the world with U.S. taxpayer money. And then there was fuel delivered to the North Koreans, millions of gallons of fuel oil, as well as food aid, which was used, wasn't given to common people, it was only used for people who would agree to join the Communist Party. And the U.S. knew that the North Koreans were using this food aid is a lever to control people who were starving. And these are the kinds of things that made those talks break down. Even when they did break down, and even when it was found out that the North Koreans were cheating on the 1994 agreement, the U.S. continued to allow that power plant to be built, those two power plants to be built, until North Korea began to test nuclear weapons, and the embarrassment and hypocrisy of the U.S. position became so evident that they had to shut it down. So now what have we found? In the latest agreement, we find it's going to happen all over again. Pyongyang, or North Korean capital, is going to give paper promises to eventually, and the key word in this little agreement is eventually, shut down their nuclear program. But in the meantime, they're requiring that the U.S. ship them 50,000 tons of fuel oil in order to, we're talking about global warming, and yet North Korea continues to pollute. Of course, global warming is a hoax, but nevertheless, it's the utmost of hypocrisy to let the communist world continue to pump out all of these carbon dioxides through fuel-fired and coal-fired power plants, and we're aiding and abetting that, not only by giving them direct aid in fuel oil, but allowing them to burn that as well. And then when they have complied with certifying a list of what plutonium weapons that they have. Now, notice there's no inspection involved here. We're simply relying on Pyongyang to give us a list of their facilities and only requiring that they shut down and open to inspection the most obvious of those. We, of course, know that North Korea has many underground facilities which were not on this list. So in essence, we've got a lot of paper promises from North Korea, but as a show of good faith, we're giving them 50,000 tons of fuel oil, which is going to cause the price of oil to continue to rise. And then if they certify that they are on the progress, on the road to progress, we're going to give them 950,000 tons of fuel oil after that. With no absolute guarantees that they have to give up their actual nuclear weapons. And if that ever becomes push to shove, it won't happen.
Well, the thing is, as I read this agreement, my feeling was, What we really wanted was an excuse to continue to fund another communist regime. I mean, we funded them in the past. They would not be there had we done what we should have during the Korean War. And, you know, certainly, you know, we actually brought communism to China. Communism, Chinese communists have funded the North Koreans through the years, and we've actually helped, and we certainly helped all during the night or during most of the 1990s, and then we cut it off, and now we're going to continue to subsidize this communist regime. But you go back, we started funding communism back in 1918, and it looks like nothing has really changed.
Well, and look at the comparison between how we treat North Korea, who's a far more ruthless regime. On last week's World Affairs Brief, I put up from Google Maps, a site that shows all of the complex of what they call Lao Gai, or prison camps, that the North Koreans are running, and they're just huge, Dr. Stan, with miles of barracks and barbed wire enclosures that are all visible on Google Maps. So this regime is truly worthy of being replaced, and we have given them guarantees that we're not interested in regime replacement. We're coddling them. And they actually have nuclear weapons, and they have missiles to deliver those. Contrast that with Iran, that doesn't have an actual nuclear weapon yet, is, I think, trying to get them, because they obviously know that the U.S. is planning on attacking them. But in any case, Iran is not anywhere near the tyrannical regime that North Korea is, and yet they've got carte blanche to continue their tyranny with U.S. guarantees. And the U.S. looks the other way. For example, the North Korean state-run news agency, the day after this came to light in the press about the secret agreement between the U.S. and North Korea, said that the reactor shutdown would only be temporary. Now, if the Iranians, and the Iranians have done that, you know, they have shut down and said, well, and then started things up again, and the world goes berserk, driven by the United States, claiming that this is a major threat. And yet, on the Jim Lehrer NewsHour, we find that Christopher Hill simply dismissed that as saying, well, they're just posturing. Now, why don't they dismiss Iran saying that they're just posturing about building when they're even denying building a nuclear weapon? You see, there's a great deal of difference between this kind of hypocrisy going on between Iran and North Korea.
No question at all. In fact, so many of the things going on in the world today, if you look at them logically, just don't make sense. Is there anybody in the listening audience who honestly believes that the North Koreans will keep their promise? I certainly don't. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you believe they're going to keep their promise, you've got to be incredibly naive. So, I mean, why did we, why are we doing what we're doing? It doesn't make sense unless there's another agenda behind everything. And certainly the American government is not anti-communist. They play this game, so that they can actually, get the American people to back our government. After all, we have to have the government to protect us from the wicked communists. But then we turn right around and subsidize them by one guise or another. In North Korea, we're doing the same thing with communist China today, building up their economy. We're doing the same thing with Vietnam, building up their economy. Our leaders know what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know what they're doing.
Well, and it is even a little more complex. It's not direct aid because they're pro-communist. It is because they're globalist, in the sense that building up communism serves a purpose in the Hegelian dialectic, whereby you create conflict in the world through letting communist revolutions do their thing. Then globalists come in later after the communists have messed up and destroyed the economy, and they, quote, save the people from communist dictatorship by replacing them with a globalist leader, which is a less virile appearing enemy to the people and a less virulent brand of socialism. But it indeed still is socialism, and its power structure is actually no less tyrannical than communism, but it's run by Western conspirators who are globalists.
Right. And, of course, usually it's so often it is an ex-communist, a fellow who was a communist, but he's no longer a communist, and then we breathe a sigh of relief.
Yes, that's right. You know, it's amazing how they can manipulate public opinion. You look at the gas prices, for example, just as an example. You know, when gas prices went up to $1.99 and $2 3 years ago, people just thought, wow, we cannot survive this. Then they went to $3 and back down now and started to get below $2, and people saying, wow, what cheap gas we're having. It's amazing how people's mindset is conditioned by letting prices going extreme, manipulating prices to go extremely high so that they'll settle down to a high price that still nets the oil companies billions in profits, and people think they're getting a good deal now. So they really know how to manipulate people through the news, and we see it happening daily, and that's why I feel like, you know, the candidacy of Ron Paul for president is our last great hope to turn this around. We have enough dissatisfaction with the Bush administration that if there ever was a time to alert conservative people to the need to go away from the Republican Party, away from the Democrats, who are a phony opposition, just as the Republicans at the national level are a phony conservative group, wolves in sheep's clothing in reality, in my opinion. I think that it's time for a real change, and boy, the establishment's taking note that Ron Paul has probably the only major conservative leader, constitutional conservative leader, that is capable of uniting all of the third party dissatisfaction and a lot of the left that is also against what the Democrats have been doing, because they're discouraged that their Democratic leaders are not, in fact, doing anything. They're only talking.
In fact, I was so pleased to see that Ron Paul was one of the 17 Republicans who joined the Democrats, you know, to vote against the surge in troops. Now, of course, it didn't mean anything, but at least he went on record as opposing the war. And, you know, if you read what Ron Paul says, it always makes sense, whether it's on finance, whether it is on the privacy issues, whether it's on the Patriot Act, whether it's on the war. And if people could hear what he says, they would understand that here is a man of principle. And, of course, you know he's going to be attacked, but at least, you know, there are an awful lot of Americans out there who know what he stands for. And I think you're absolutely right. I think a lot of the people on the left would back him simply because they can't stand Hillary or Obama.
Well, you know, speaking of political campaigns, it's very, very typical of what happens in these high-flying campaigns. Look at the campaign of Hillary Clinton. She suddenly got an endorsement from Senator Daryl Jackson, you know, from the same state as John Edwards, and he did not endorse John Edwards or Senator Barack Obama. And yet we now find that soon after the endorsement, Jackson had to acknowledge that his media consulting firm had negotiated a $10,000 per month contract with Clinton's campaign. And Jackson turned down even more lucrative contracts from other candidates in order to throw his endorsement to Clinton to get this $10,000 per month contract. So this really looks like a quid pro quo, is that I'll endorse you if you will back my consulting firm and, you know, give us a line of cash that will keep us afloat. This is the kind of stuff that is, you know, typical of machine politics, that Ron Paul will simply never tolerate. And Ron Paul is as honest as there is, the day is long, and none of these people, are true to their principles. They shift positions for political purposes, and Ron Paul will not do that.
No, I suspect that most of the people there in Washington, D.C., you know, give hypocrisy a bad name. I mean, they are so rotten down to the core. There's only a few of them, maybe Tom Coburn and a few others there who are there on principle. And there are a few congressmen who are good men, but so many of them will compromise. And the fact that, even though I think almost every Republican congressman knows that the American people do not support this war, why they voted along with it, with the administration, because they want to get the goodies that come along with it.
Well, you know, nothing's more hypocritical than what George Bush said on President's Day. He was speaking at Mount Vernon. He actually put words in George Washington's mouth that weren't there. I don't know if you've heard of this story.
No, I haven't.
Dr. Stanton,
I haven't.
It is dramatic. He stated that Washington's goals guided this nation's quest to extend freedom beyond its borders. Now, it's true that Washington wished that other people would see America as a guiding light of freedom, but never did George Washington ever encourage getting involved in other nations and trying to force democracy or our republican form of government upon people. Bush says, George Washington's long struggle for freedom has inspired generations of Americans to stand for freedom in their own time. He said, today we're fighting a new war to defend our liberty and our people and our way of life. As we work to advance the cause of freedom around the world, we remember that the father of our country believed that the freedoms we secured in our revolution were not meant for Americans alone. Well, you know, obviously he's distorting the difference between Washington's desire, but he did not mean that this is something that was to be imposed. Here's what Washington really said. He said, the great rule of conduct for us in regard to foreign nations is an extending of our commercial relationships and to have with them as little political connection as possible. So far as we have already formed engagements, let them be fulfilled with perfect good faith. Here let us stop. Europe has a set of primary interests which to us have none, and a very remote relation. Hence we must be engaged in frequent controversies, the causes of which are essentially foreign to our concerns. Therefore, it must be unwise in us to implicate ourselves by artificial ties to the ordinary vicissitudes of her politics or the ordinary combinations of collisions with her friendships and her enmities. And then he made that same statement about no entangling alliances with Europe. He was very eloquent. He said, our detached and distant situation invites and enables us to pursue a different course. We don't have to be entangled with Europe. If we remain one people, he said, under an efficient government, the period is not far off when we may defy material injury from external annoyance, when we may take such an attitude as will cause the neutrality we may at any time resolve upon to be scrupulously respected. So he was just against this kind of meddling in world affairs.
But, of course, George Bush wants to meddle in world affairs. He wants to use the power of the United States to unite the world, and that's what the globalists want. Well, Joe, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks very much for being with us. We'll look forward to having you with us again a little later this week on one of our other programs.
My pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back. Genesis.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels, housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
Hey, Jane, how's it going?
Gosh, I'm not doing so well. Even though I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do, my blood sugar is way out of control.
Oh, Jane, I'm sorry to hear that.
I have to monitor my blood sugar again. If there was only something natural I could take that would help control my blood sugar that really works.
Have you tried Sucralblast?
For millions of Americans who can't keep their high blood sugar levels off their minds, there's Sucralblast. Sucralblast is the all-natural way to help keep your high blood sugar levels under control. For a limited time, you can get a free consultation from a Sucralblast specialist. Call 1-800-99-HEALTHY. That's 1-800-99-HEALTHY. Or visit them on the web at mybloodsugarbreakthrough.com. That's mybloodsugarbreakthrough.com.
So, Jane, what do you think?
I'm going to call Sucroblast to set up a free consultation right now.
Excellent, Jane. He'll be glad you did.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there listening to us across America and you believe, as I do, we're involved in a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political and ideological battlefield, and you can't make any sense out of what's going on in the Middle East, and the fact that we seem to be hell-bent upon attacking Iran, unless you understand that this is a prelude to World War III, to expanding the war from Afghanistan in Iraq into a war with the Muslim world. That's the plan, and you can actually read the writings of the occultists, and they would tell you exactly what the plan is, but the American people are not to know. And so, you know, if you believe that there's a problem and you'd like to become part of our team, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters for a suggested gift of $20 or more a month. And then, of course, you can get, you can subscribe to the newsletter. Now, if you join the Radio Liberty family, you get our four best tapes or CDs in the month. And then, of course, if you subscribe to the newsletter, you just get the newsletter. If you'd like a free copy, you can pull it down off the Internet at RadioLiberty.com or give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Now, to understand what it's really all about, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you want to understand the genocidal program of these wicked people, why you need to get my talk on planned population reduction, or a video on population control, or the four-tape set on population control, or my four-tape set my monograph, it's entitled Population Control Agenda Monograph. And then, of course, we have so much other information. You need to get the book we're offering now on satanic crimes. You need to get our four-tape set on the supernatural, our four-tape set on Satanism and deliverance, our four-tape set on Aleister Crowley, who was a Satanist. You need to get our new four-tape set on the Military Commission Act. You need to get our four-tape set on concentration camps or our concentration camp special. We have things you're never going to get any other place, and we try to take important issues and address them systematically. And certainly our four tape sets, you know, certainly on iodine, and you can order that. That'll be available by the end of this week. You realize, of course, that most people are deficient in iodine, and that's because they took the iodine out of our bread and substituted bromide. They took the iodine out of our milk. They took the iodine out of half of our salt. And as a result, why most people are iodine deficient, and there are all sorts of problems that arise when you're iodine deficient. And the people in Japan eat about 100 times more iodine, consume it, and of course, in many respects, they're far healthier. So if you'd like our four tips set on iodine, you'd like, of course, to even order Iodorol, which we carry, which is an iodine compound, gives you 12.5 milligrams of iodine a day, and Barbara and I are both taking it. Or you'd like to get the capsules for potassium iodine that you'd have on hand in case of a nuclear attack, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't laid in your emergency food supplies, why, you should have them on hand. Any of the containers for the water and the pumps for the water so you can get it out. And a means of purifying the water, you need to have your storage food, and we actually have catalogs. But if you have a catalog, don't put this off. We don't know when the attack on Iran is coming, but I'm firmly convinced it's coming, and I think that's one of the reasons we negotiated this treaty, this agreement with Korea, so that wouldn't be a problem. And so then we could, of course, focus on the coming massive war in the Middle East, which is going to end up 544-8927 right here at Radio Liberty, and we'll be back in just a moment with a fascinating program with our good friend Bill Sarvey. You won't want to miss it.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing...
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, well, right now our guest is Bill Sardi, who's a health journalist who's really been, of course, does a great deal of research on many, many subjects. And this afternoon we're going to be talking about something which should be so obvious to most people, but it isn't. And that is, of course, the importance of vitamin D, the sunshine vitamin. And as we've talked over the last few months, you know, I've remembered that back, even before I went to medical school, when you had somebody with tuberculosis, what did you do with them? Well, they all used to die, but, you know, then, of course, they got the idea of putting people in sanitariums. And they were isolated there, and they could rest there, and they got lots of fresh air and sunshine. And that was one of the things. They got lots of fresh air and sunshine, and a lot of these people with tuberculosis got well before we had antibiotics. Of course, the antibiotics were a tremendous help, but for some reason, the sunshine seemed to make people improve dramatically. Well, with that as a background, let's talk to Bill about really some of the new exciting scientific discoveries that are being made by doctors throughout the world that could have a profound impact upon how patients are treated. Bill, thanks very much for being with us again.
You bet. And of course, we're breaking the news story. Well, it's a Back to the Future story again. It's old and it's new. The disappointment is it's all a vitamin that was in our hands all along. Did you know that you used to be able to buy 50,000 unit vitamin D pills many years ago in the 1960s? Of course, now they made it so that you can't buy high-dose vitamin D pills. They did the same in Scandinavian countries where they were able to buy the high-dose vitamin D. All of the Scandinavian countries, all the people that live in Northern Europe are vitamin D deficient in winter months, and yet they will only allow a small 200-unit vitamin D pill to be sold there. They're disease-mongering. It's the very best of that, as they make sure that people have disease for doctors to treat and drug companies to sell their pills by making sure that they're vitamin D deficient. What are we talking about? We're on the verge of a giant leap forward in health promotion with rapid fire discoveries all this year that a single vitamin pill may vanquish cancer and heart disease, the two leading causes of mortality in the United States. We're talking about a pill that costs 10 cents a day that may reduce the risk of heart disease by 70%, cancer by 50%, as well as quell autoimmune disease, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, diminish the occurrence of diabetes, reduce obesity, effectively treat multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, Parkinson's disease, schizophrenia, high blood pressure, conquer the common cold, and even defeat tuberculosis, which is an infectious disease that affects one-third of the people in the world. It's all a vitamin, Bill, and they've been hiding it from us, leading us out of the dark ages of medicine is the sunshine vitamin, vitamin D. And it's long been mischaracterized, is, of course, a vitamin pill that can be toxic if taken in high doses. Modern medicine led us on the wrong street and said if you take too much vitamin D, you might get sick. It turns out the other way around.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Bill Sardi talking about vitamin D. Of course, I'll never forget going to medical school. One of the causes of hypercalcemia was a vitamin D intoxication. Of course, they didn't tell us how much you had to take or how long you had to take it. And, of course, part of this is just scare tactics, yes. Very rarely you can get into a problem. Very rarely, but there's so much good you can get from vitamin D. Well, Bill, why don't you pick the story up there?
Well, of course, we're certainly concerned about this story. Who could believe that so much disease could be eliminated with one vitamin pill? And yet it's true. If you look at the literature now, and it's coming in so fast, the Food and Nutrition Board, part of the National Institutes of Health, has taken no action. The National Institutes of Health, which runs most of the research in the country, is the branch of government that usually has a press conference to announce some breakthrough drug, which they did for statin drugs, they did it for Vioxx, they did it for so many, but not for vitamin D. There's no press conference for this vitamin because it would virtually put out of business more than half of the medical care industry that we know. What they're telling us, and most vitamin pills have this trivial amount of 400 units of vitamin D. It's only 1/100 of 1 milligram, not enough to do anything significantly in your body but prevent rickets, which is frank deficiency. National Academy of Sciences says no more than 2,000 units of vitamin D. That's only 50 micrograms, 1/20 of a milligram. They say that's the safe upper limit. Like, it'll be toxic if you go to 2,000. That's completely safe. In fact, you can go all the way up to 40,000 units a day. And how outrageous this is, how ridiculous, when we realize that we can go stand under the noontime sun in the summer in a southern state like Arizona or Florida for 1 hour just wearing our swim trunks and make 10,000 units of natural vitamin D through sun exposure. There's never been any reported sun poisoning, and yet they've been trying to tell us to stay away from vitamin D. And so it's Dr. Reinhold Veith at the University of Toronto showing that we can take safely 4,000 units a day, maybe even 10,000 units a day, says the Council for Responsible Nutrition, about the amount we would get in 1 hour of sunshine exposure in the summertime. So we're nowhere near the toxicity level. You'd have to take 40,000 units for many weeks. What are the advantages? Not only the reduction in two leading causes of mortality, which is cancer and, of course, heart disease, but so many of these other diseases, including mental disease, winter depression, which leads us to overeating and certainly obesity. And so all of this with one simple vitamin, and they've been keeping this away from it. It's William Grant, Ph.D. at the Sunlight Nutrition and Health Research Center in San Francisco, says there's compelling evidence or more vitamin D.
Hold that thought, right? We'll be right back in just a moment with Bill Sardi. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest today is a health journalist, Bill Sardi. We're talking about the importance of vitamin D. And, you know, a lot of doctors poo-poo vitamins, all these vitamin crazies. The trouble is that the doctors are simply mimicking what they are told by their journals, what they're told by the drug companies, and, of course, what they learned in medical school. Well, there's certain vitamins that are vitally important. That's why God put them here. But they have tremendous beneficial effect as far as helping people avoid serious illnesses. And now more and more information is coming out from scientific studies, and it's in certain journals, but it's not in the journal the average doctor reads. So my advice to the listener was get the information, check it out, and get the scientific studies that Bill will refer you to you, and then begin to educate your doctor. If you can reach him, he can reach other people, and we're going to have to protect one another's health. We certainly can't depend upon the CDC or the NIH or the medical establishment because they seem to have an entirely different agenda. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, we do know that there's, of course, another big change going on. We've talked about it prior programs we've been on, talking about the big change that it's not cholesterol that's hardening our arteries, causing the heart attacks and strokes. It's actually calcium. 3% of arterial plaque is cholesterol. 50% is calcium. It's the calcification. We're turning into statues. We can see this in kidney disease patients. They're plagued with arterial calcifications. They have 10 times more cardiac death rate, 10 times higher compared to the general population. So we know it's calcium that does this. Men certainly get the calcification earlier than the women. Women eventually lose the calcium from their bones with menopause, the loss of the estrogen coming out of their bones into their arteries, and a 360% increase in a cardiovascular disease with the onset of menopause. Now, they would scare us away, and they used to say, well, taking too much vitamin D will calcify your arteries. Yes, but it's Dr. Armin Zitterman, PhD in Germany at the Westphalia Heart Center. They're reporting that it would take about 1.2 million units of vitamin D to over-calcify your arteries. You see, it helps us utilize more calcium in the body, this vitamin does, but too low a level will cause calcifications of the arteries, and the vast majority, hundreds of millions of people around the globe, have calcified arteries from lack of vitamin D. Anywhere where the sun doesn't shine, anywhere in northern latitudes, anybody who doesn't go outdoors, they found vitamin D deficient people in the Middle East because their clothing covers most of their body. They found them in Florida because people don't get outdoors. They're afraid of the sun because they think they're going to get skin cancer, and yet there never was death from melanoma. We didn't see the death rates like we do now until we began covering up from the sun, until we began using the sunscreen. Then the mortality rates went way up, you see. So what they did was scare us away from vitamin D. Many of the Scandinavian countries allowed people to buy high-dose vitamin Ds. Now they've reduced this way down. And this is basically engineering disease, so doctors have more patients to treat. That's all this is. And we've been led down the wrong path. Our public health authorities are in league in this giant ruse to steer the public away from what they really need to stay healthy. Dr. Grant in San Francisco, along with Cedric F. Garland at University of California, San Diego, report that about 50,000 to 63,000 individuals in the United States, 19,000 to 25,000 in Great Britain, die prematurely from cancer every year due to insufficient vitamin D. The geographical colon, breast, ovarian, and prostate cancer belt encircles the globe in the northern latitude. Just go around the globe, Seattle, Toronto, Boston, London, Dublin, Helsinki, Copenhagen, Berlin, Moscow, Anchorage. Just go around the globe in the northern latitudes where all those major cities are. That is the cancer belt of the world where the vitamin D levels are low. Even on a sunny day, the angle of the sun, you could be out on the roof suntanning, you wouldn't get any vitamin D production at all in the winter months. So this is why this occurs. How this escaped modern medicine. In the winter months, the entire death rate in the world goes up. Certainly the heart attack rates go up. The survival from cancer drops in the winter. If you are diagnosed with cancer, your survival rate is not as good. Every disease points to the lack of vitamin D. And, of course, we need much more. Now, the problem is getting past our own thoughts. I thought we got it in milk. I thought we got it in some of our foods. No way to even get close to what we need. A glass of milk is 100 units of synthetic vitamin D2, which is even the improper form that's barely used by the human body. Vitamin D3 in most of the supplements is what's needed. And, of course, we're probably going to rely on supplements or sunshine exposure. Now, the sunshine exposure can be a little bit difficult either time-wise or depending on where we live, where to get this. The liver will store about 4 months of vitamin D for you, but it can rapidly run out. Shows you how critical it is. And, of course, in the winter months, we do notice this other dreaded problem. And, of course, the flu and the colds that sweep the globe as soon as the earth tilts and winter comes and we don't get the radiation from the sun to make vitamin D.
And what you're really suggesting is that a lack of vitamin D predisposes you to the influenza and colds.
That's exactly right. And it's Dr. John Cannell of the Vitamin D Council. You can go to vitamindcouncil.com, who's told us about this, but he's just reworking the story as we've learned it, of course, from Dr. Hope Simpson, who in the 1980s and so on was telling us about how the flu and the cold sweep the globe, and it seems to have something to do with radiation from the sun, and now we know that it's vitamin D. Now, Dr. Cannell has a challenge out on the vitamin D website, Vitamin D Council website, and that is anybody in the winter months who starts to develop the sniffles, at the first sign, you'll get a 50,000-unit vitamin D pill and take it for 3 days. You'll vanquish that cold. And, of course, you know, I had the sniffles twice, gone within an hour of me taking that high-dose vitamin D pill. We'll tell you where to get the high-dose pills in just a minute. But it's we're learning more about this. Dr. Cannell works at a hospital. He's been telling everybody working at the hospital to try this. They've been doing it and repeatedly reporting to him that they can stop a cold just in moments. What does vitamin D do? It regulates our immune system, and of course our immune system is down in the winter months, and this is what brings it on. This deficiency in vitamin D is so widespread that they did a study here in Michigan, and you see black people, people with dark skin pigment, doesn't matter who you are, you could be dark skin pigmented from India or some other country, and you're going to need a lot more sunlight. They think maybe you need 20 minutes to 40 minutes of sunlight on 40% of your body. How many of us are going to take our shirt off to get that much sun in order to kind of get what we need? And people that are darkly skin pigmented, in Michigan, they found that 50% of the black mothers and 65% of their newborn infants were vitamin D deficient. These children starting off with true frank deficiency, not just a shortage. That means those children, their bones are going to bend. You're going to see small amount of rickets in these children. So this is what you're going to see right from the very beginning. And this has to do with the development of your brain and so on. Your IQ goes down. All of this is, of course, related to the vitamin D. Doctors Garland and Grant in University of California, San Diego, and so on, say it would cost about $1 billion a year to provide a 1,000-unit vitamin D capsule to all adult Americans, but that would save the United States in health care costs $56 billion a year. A $1 billion investment to save up to $56 billion a year. And, of course, this is a big story. You're not hearing it elsewhere. You need to swear off that you're even going to ask the doctor, dietitian, or pharmacist any idea about vitamin D. When people yesterday were getting a hold of me on this story and saying, well, my doctor says we need to do a vitamin D blood test, which is worthless, and scaring them away from vitamin D. Because as Dr. Stan has said, all the doctors have been deceived on this and told that you could overdose. So if you're going to look in the Merck manual, if you're going to look online, if you're going to see, you're going to read the wrong thing. Even the National Academy of Science is scaring people away from vitamin D, and yet it's so ridiculous. How can we make 10,000 units of vitamin D from suntanning? And by the way, that means that a good suntanning booth might help you with some of these diseases. And how in the world can we make 10,000 units from suntanning, and yet, you know, they tell us that 2,000 units in a pill is absolutely troublesome? This is, we just can't go on like this. If you're one of those people and you absolutely have to have the okay from your doctor, then go to my website tomorrow morning, knowledgeofhealth.com, and print out my report. It has the references there, and take it back to your doctor. But I'm telling you not to hesitate. in getting vitamin D, especially if they have any of these problems, health problems that we've just been mentioning.
Now, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two, but, you know, I think some of the more significant things are certainly the part that vitamin D plays as far as cancer is concerned, as far as infection is concerned, and certainly as far as heart disease is concerned, and blocking much of the calcification. Most of the coronary attacks, the occlusion of the arteries, is related to the calcium in the artery. And vitamin D, of course, is instrumental in regulating calcium. We're going to be back here in just a moment, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Bill, pick the story up there.
It's certainly true. I even know that a man just got a hold of me at age 74 writing to me today and saying that in the 1960s he used to be able to buy the 50,000-unit vitamin D pills. Today at age 74, he's still taking high-dose vitamin D, and he doesn't wear glasses at all. Now, I remember the man calling me about 15 years ago. He used to go to a doctor in New York who would inject high-dose vitamin D for his nearsightedness. It has a different effect there, and what it would do is actually shrink the eye a little bit and then cause the focusing point in the eye to change, and he actually did not need glasses again for many years. And I just wonder about all this as we read it, just how many applications this can go on to. Certainly so many, we didn't have these kind of health problems that we have now where so many people with heart disease and cancer because they didn't live that long before. Now we do have this, the osteoporosis, of course. The vitamin D is making something called osteocalcin, and osteocalcin then keeps the signal to keep the calcium in our bones so it's not coming out. It's doing you no good to continually take these calcium supplements. They're just clogging your arteries from the other side as you consume more calcium. I just had a man in his 80s go for a calcium artery scan. Now, over 400, you really are in a high risk group. His number was 1600 on the calcium artery. This is a CT scan that can be done. It does expose you to a little radiation. But it was a very high risk. So you can see, and what was his wife doing? Well, she thought she'd help him out at his age in his 80s. She thought that he looked a little stooped over and that he needed extra calcium for his bones. So she was making his condition worse. And so he's had another, he's had since then an unfortunate little problem, what we call transient ischemic attack, stroke-like thing, event. And so this has occurred. So you can see that somebody may be well-meaning and give you this extra calcium idea that's coming along. What you need is vitamin D. You'll utilize more calcium out of your diet. In countries where they consume more than 800 milligrams of calcium a day, this is Scandinavian countries, Ireland, North America, New Zealand, where they have the grazing lands for the cattle, why then you see a high rate of cardiovascular disease, and very low rates in countries where the consumption is less than 400 milligrams a day. Americans consume over 800 milligrams. Some men will consume about 1,200 milligrams a day. Even vegetarians, about 600 milligrams of calcium a day. So we don't need to be afraid of calcium. It's in our diet. We just don't need to supplement with it. And, of course, vitamin D, the number one weapon here. Dr. Joseph Prendergast, MD, Redwood City, California, now treating all of his patients for hardening of the arteries with high doses of vitamin D, along with an amino acid called arginine. He had the problem himself, Dr. Prendergast, and of course reverse hardening of the arteries in his own body, now does it for many of his patients. Doctors are breaking ranks, finding ways to get their patients healthy. The vitamin D revolution is here. It's just a matter, do we have the gumption to do something without our doctor holding our hand, without a permission slip or a hall pass?
Hold that thought. We'll
go ahead and do it.
We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bill was simply talking about the relationship between hardening of the arteries and vitamin D. And those of you who did not get an opportunity to hear Bill's talk, last week or a week or so ago on the relationship between coronary artery disease and calcification of the arteries. Really need to get that and realize that cholesterol is not the culprit. Calcium is the culprit, and how can you control the calcium in your body so you're not taking it anymore, and of course so that you can handle that which is already there. And of course the calcium is there, it's coming out of your bones. What can women do to keep the calcium back in their bones? And the last thing you need to do is take more calcium. You've got lots of calcium, it's coming out of your bones and going into your arteries. So, but that's for another subject for another day. But if you don't have a copy of that tape on Sydney, calcium in the arteries, why, you can give us a call and order that. Today we're talking about the importance of vitamin D, which is an important part of the regime for controlling the calcium that's in the arteries. Go ahead, Del.
We're not standing alone. Newsweek and U.S. News and World Report carried recent breakthrough stories on this. This is not something that we're standing out on a limb on. This is information that you're just not getting in a way that emphasizes your need to take this. Now imagine the poor soul maybe listening to this radio show has cancer, so you're on maybe tamoxifen for breast cancer, you're on some sort of drugs for your prostate cancer, you're also suffering with hypertension, so you're taking medicine there, you may be depressed, so you're on an antidepressant, and then you're having cardiovascular disease, so you're on a statin drug, an ACE inhibitor, a beta blocker, a diuretic, or maybe all of those. And, of course, then you may have autoimmune disease, so now you're on steroids or whatever other anti-inflammatory drug there is. Then you may have osteoporosis, so you're on one of those bone-hardening drugs. All of those drugs, just due to the lack of vitamin D, you would not need any of them. Do you understand? Modern medicine is crumbling as we speak. They're quivering. This is the garlic clove to the industry. You hold it up there, and of course, the vampire has to run away. And this is the way that we can do it for 10 cents a day. How many of us would rather that our health plan pay for the medicine than spend 10 cents a day on vitamin D? Now, I can tell you where to get the vitamin D. The high-dose vitamin D you can't find in health food stores. You can find the 1,000 or the 2,000. You need to take 4 or 5,000 units a day. In the winter, maybe more. First sign of a cold, maybe up to 20 to 50,000 units at a time. And you can't find those pills easily. You go to the Knowledge of Health website, you'll be able to find that tomorrow morning, how to get a hold of 5,000 and 50,000 unit vitamin D pill.
And that's at knowledgeofhealth.com.
Knowledgeofhealth.com. Now, right. What's it cost you for 100 5,000 unit vitamin D pill? 100 of them, 3 months supply, $7.30. I think you could invest $7.30 for you and your loved ones. This is the most dramatic health breakthrough you will ever hear of in your lifetime. And the tragedy of it all, it didn't take an invention, a patent. It doesn't come from anybody. It's natural vitamin D. So safe. They're warning us away from it when you can just get it from sunshine. Really don't have the $7.30? Well, get out on the beach. Do find some way to get this wonderful, life-giving vitamin. Do we really believe in God, a creator? Isn't it odd that God would bring us sunshine the way he does? You think we just evolved from monkeys? If we did, then what's all the sunshine about, and why do we need it? You see, how could this all have just happened in random fashion? I hope you're seeing that God meant for us to live a long and healthy life. And somehow, we're missing this wonderful thing, and we're being disease-mongered by the health authorities, including our own public health authorities, who are needlessly and misdirected fashion warning us away. We're in the dark ages of medicine, as just as they were in the dark ages in Europe years and years and decades ago. And the sunshine vitamin will bring us out of the dark, and God brings us to it to us. If you need to get it in pill form, vitamin D is sunshine in a bottle, and you need some for your family.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two with Bill Sardi as we begin talking really about so much of what has been actually come up, in the literature as far as vitamin D is concerned. You certainly could go to the Vitamin D Council website. A lot of great information there on vitamin D, and I've been there and had the opportunity to interview Dr. Cannell on several occasions. And, of course, he's leading the battle to try to get people to understand the benefits of the sunshine vitamin. Been known for many years. And yet, of course, most doctors will tell you, oh, you're going to get vitamin D toxicity. You better avoid it. Well, Bill, why don't you go ahead and here in just a minute or two, I will get your website out again and tell people where they can get the product. But right now, we've got about 3 minutes before we get all of our stations back with us.
Well, you can hear the fervency in my voice as I try to make a convincing argument about vitamin D. This doesn't cost much. It's certainly a wonderful development. It's remarkable how widespread and helpful this vitamin is. And, of course, now what we know about all coming into view, what I'm citing here right now, are reports since January of 2007. We've only had close to 2 months of the year, and all of these are developments that are being announced as we speak. So we know all this. We know it's unrolling. It's massive research on vitamin D. It's all unfolding in front of us. How long will we wait? What convincing evidence will we need to make it a good habit to take vitamin D every day? And my little boy at 2.5 years old started to get sick here in the winter. We gave him the vitamin D. Amazing. Started to get a little fever, and within 10, 15 minutes, it started to subside with a nice, good dose of vitamin D. It's amazing just to watch it happen. And, of course, little children, it's cold. You don't send them outside, and they don't get any sunlight. And, of course, this is, again, you see what happens to children, why they get the colds in the winter, why they go down to preschool and everywhere else and pick up every other child's cold because, of course, it's their own immune system. We've noticed that the flu is actually not transmitted from person to person. It has to do with your own immune system. When everyone's immune system is down, they all get it. So this is our problem. So it looks like it's transmitted from person to person, actually. It's our own immune system that goes down as the earth tilts and we don't get as much vitamin D from sunshine.
Amazing what you're pointing out then, that it is primarily in the winter time when people come down with influenza and colds because their immune system is down. And their immune system is down, at least in part, because they're not getting adequate vitamin D. Would that be a fair appraisal?
That is. And remember now, so many people move to sunny states as they get older with their rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, and so on, all their autoimmune disorders. And it was always the sunshine. It was always the vitamin D. They used to say it was the heat. Heat's good. It's nice, but it's really just the vitamin D.
Now, how does that affect autoimmune disease?
What we have is, we'll go into this more, but anybody with autoimmune disease should stay away from milk because milk harbors a bacterium that we think is exciting and triggering the autoimmune disease.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Bill Sardi. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest today is Bill Sardi, who's a health journalist and certainly one of our favorite guests here at Radio Liberty. And before we do go on, we were going to be talking a little bit about autoimmune disease. But, Bill, how can people get in touch with you and get the information that's available through you and through your organization?
KnowledgeofHealth.com, KnowledgeofHealth.com. There's nobody with their hand out there. All the information is free to you. And, of course, we love serving the public in this way. God help us that people would go there and believe enough in what we say with the citations and the references. We're not trying to make ourselves a good authority. We're trying to make this good science the authority. And we're trying to cite all the references for you and sort it out for you and your family as we see so many people suffering with so many diseases. We've been talking about autoimmune disease. That's Crohn's disease as well. So many people have. That's probably part of irritable bowel There's a thyroiditis, which is Hashimoto's disease, which also is affected. There's so many other autoimmune disorders. And, of course, it seems to worsen in the winter. And what we're lacking is the vitamin D. What the vitamin D does is, I said it raised your immune system, but it also normalizes it, keeps it from getting to an out-of-control mechanism, our own immune system fighting and attacking our own body. So that's what it does. And the reason why I was mentioning the milk, we think there's a bacterium in the milk that escapes the pasteurization called paratuberculosis. The USDA, Department of Agriculture, is certainly aware of this and doing nothing about it to warn us that pasteurization isn't good enough. They're feeding the animals differently. The germ count is, bacteria count in animals today is about 100 times higher. And it's escaping through, and about 2.5% of our milk cartons have this germ in it. And once it gets in our body, it goes and hides and resides in our immune system called the macrophages, the white blood cells. And when the white blood cells are dispatched to an area of infection or inflammation, why then it's bringing this monster paratuberculosis germ bacterium with it. And of course, that's the definition of autoimmune disease. The immune disease system, of course, attacking ourselves. So what is the number one way, that, Dr. Stan, that we treat tuberculosis if we lived 100 years ago?
We went outside and got in the sunlight.
We had solariums. We brought the hospital beds outside, and sunlight conquered. It was always this bug called tuberculosis or paratuberculosis, and vitamin D vanquished it. Your immune system will always overwhelm whatever disease you have, because humanity would not have survived this long. So our immune system is always dominant and superior if we can get it working properly.
Now you speak of paratuberculosis. Now, that is different than regular tuberculosis.
It is. And we think of tuberculosis of the lung, because that's where it is in a third of humanity. But it can reside in any part of the body. We now see it in the brain. Parkinson's disease is related. Crohn's disease is paratuberculosis in the gut, because we relate that to the drinking of milk. But you can get it directly from animals. There are different forms, avian forms. Tuberculosis bovis is the form we get from the cattle. So there's different ways of getting this. And, of course, the most common, easily transmitted form is through milk. Now, paratuberculosis is a stealth bacterium. You cannot find it in the body. A tuberculosis test is so insensitive that you can't find it. If you have tuberculosis, you are going to paratuberculosis. You'd have to take a lab dish and culture it, that is, grow the bacterium for a year to find it, because it's so slow growing. And it resides in your body waiting until your immune system drops down. And then when it does it, it starts growing much more rapidly and causing problems. It can reside in your brain, can reside in your adrenal glands, your liver. It doesn't matter where it goes. It can attack the pancreas, and you end up with diabetes. And now we notice that children that are low in vitamin D certainly get an awful lot of type 1 child onset diabetes. So we think this is all related to a germ disease, all of these diseases, and that vitamin D, again, is the major antidote. So for us to learn as humanity how to get vitamin D pills into our life, and realizing that a great deal of the entire medical care industry crumbles on this, it raises the question, will they ever let this vitamin D revolution happen? I just can't imagine that they're going to let this happen. You're going to have to find your own way there. Do you realize the cancer care industry, billions of dollars, and you're taking the money right out of their hands? Listen, you need to do something for your own health. I'm trying to tell you to break ranks. We've written about this before, the collapse of conventional medicine. They've been disease-mongering all along, steering us away from the vitamins. This one's so easy. We've heard about vitamin C, but we've heard that you need to take a lot of it. because it's a water soluble, it washes out so easily with vitamin C. But with vitamin D, it's a fat soluble. It's stored. You only need a little pill, one little pill a day, and certainly costing you 7.3 cents a day, what I quoted to you, for 5,000 units of vitamin D. This is a wonderful, inexpensive development, a way. How would you ever say that you took something? It would cut your risk of having cancer in half. If you've already had cancer, this is absolutely at the top of your list in order to prevent recurrence. You know that after all the doctors treat you for cancer, what do they give you to prevent its recurrence? Nothing. So you need vitamin D. This is what you need. Prevention is anathema. It's not a part of modern medicine. Vitamin D is. And it's our only way there. It's so cheap and inexpensive. I know so many of us, we want to wait till our doctor says it's okay. We want to wait till our health plan pays for it. Have you got 7.3 cents a day for you and your loved one? You got somebody in a nursing home inside where they never get any sunlight? I think they need this vitamin. Lots of people need this, and so many people suffering from this. And, of course, our real burden, people of dark skin, are black Americans, who are all virtually deficient in vitamin D because they simply do not make it due to their dark melanin skin pigmentation. They need a lot more sun exposure. A lot of people, blacks in America, just don't go out in the sun because it darkens their skin, and they just don't feel comfortable out there. So they're making even less vitamin D. And so, you know, the way dark-skinned people came from more countries closer to the equator where they would get more sunlight. So as soon as you move people from the equator that are dark-skinned, let's say to London, you see a tremendous increase in the risk of lymphoma and leukemia. These are autoimmune and disease, cancer disease. So you see these kinds of problems. So it's a terrible, terrible price that we're paying in humanity for not employing this good news. And of course, the good news, vitamin D vanquishes the two leading causes of mortality in the United States, which is heart disease and cancer. We have no drug, pill, treatment, or anything that will go as far as this will. It's something you need to do every day, and whether it's multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, Parkinson's disease, schizophrenia, I'm just repeating them all over for you, so I ring a bell for you. You're on those high blood pressure pills. You're gaining weight. You can't figure out why. You're fighting five or six colds a year. All of these problems are certainly eradicated, reduced significantly by taking and getting enough vitamin D. I know for so many people, you want to go back to drinking the milk. You want to find a way to do this in your diet. There's a little vitamin D in butter and so on. You will never get from your diet enough vitamin D, and the synthetic forms fortify our milk, so it's not sufficient for us because it's hardly utilizable. So we really need to work on getting a little better sunshine exposure, particularly in the summer when it's available to us, and certainly a vitamin D pill every day, and really up the dose when we start to feel terrible, especially in the winter months with the colds and the flu. And if we have loved ones, then we need to get this message to them. And this is the greatest health advancement we will ever hear on the planet. There is nothing like this.
Well, Bill, what you quoted earlier, the statistics, the decrease in the incidence of heart disease and of cancer in patients, you know, if they were taking vitamin D, how much does it seem to cut back on heart disease? How much does it seem to cut back on cancer?
Well, in Japan, they did a study there that they've just been reporting on. This is Dr. Zitterman out of Germany, and he's saying that in Japan, they did a study there, and they supplemented, the ones who took the vitamin D supplement, the risk for death from cardiovascular disease dropped by 70%. Wow, that's a huge drop. I mean, you're talking about another 700,000-800,000 Americans living every year instead of dying.
Well, that's certainly a lot better than the statins, isn't it? Because they're
the statin drugs haven't lowered the mortality rate hardly at all, not a notch.
Right.
And of course, you're talking about cancer. We have over 1.5 million people diagnosed with cancer every year, you're talking about cutting that number in half in the first year that we begin to use it. I mean, this is what information has been kept away from us. It's all coming into view now. I can remember writing on vitamin D about 7 or 8 years ago, but it was hard to get people to listen. Now this is being reported in U.S. News and World Report, in the Newsweek magazine. This were all December 2006 reports. They're fresh reports. And certainly they're saying nearly the same thing. I'm just giving you a little more detail to it and telling you how to find your way out of this mess, as we see modern medicine is simply not ready to mobilize. We're trying to get ready for this worthless bird flu, which only strikes birds, and we need to be mobilized to get a positive breakthrough to us, not a threat, which is a useless threat.
I think it's so interesting the way that they focus our attention on non-existent threats and totally ignore the things that are killing millions of Americans every year. How could you do such a poor job unintentionally? And I don't believe it's unintentional.
Well, all of Finland was given high doses of vitamin D years ago. The entire country, they recognized the winter problem with vitamin D deficiencies. So the entire country got it years ago. Then they slowly, four times over the last four decades, lowered the maximum amount. And, of course, why did they lower it? There weren't any side effects. They were just disease-mongering, making sure that the people slowly got sicker and the doctors had more disease to treat, the drug companies had more. This is just terrible, and we need to stop grinding our teeth over this thing. We can get angry, but it's better to get even, and it's better to get well and get healthy.
And the first thing to do is protect yourself and your
Absolutely.
Family.
Absolutely. And you're worried about bird flu? Let's even say it's real. What would you do? There's no medicines around that they have in sufficient supply. Grab your vitamin D. That's the way to fix it.
And actually, of course, although I don't think there are any controlled studies, but the standard influenza by the vitamin D really does tend to decrease the intensity of influenza, as far as we can tell.
Well, what we're trying to do is keep that. What happened in 1918 was the flu that swept the world and killed millions. But these people would die in an hour or two of fluid that filled their lungs. Again, it was an over-responsive immune system. So, again, the vitamin D would be the antidote because it keeps that from happening. You might get a little bit of the flu or the colds, but you're certainly not going to die of this fluid on your lungs. This is what actually occurred. So, you know, it's a tragedy. It's all a natural vitamin. Just imagine, I wish it was in the tanning booth business. They got to change a little bit of their lamps they use because they've kind of switched it around so you get a little more UVA than you get the UVB. The fast tanning UVB rays are the ones that make the vitamin D, so you want to get a little bit of that. By the way, you spend less time down there. But I think the tanning booth industry ought to switch their signs around instead of look good for summer and make it a vanity approach over into health, helping people with autoimmune disease and all kinds of issues. I really think if you can't get out in the sun, why pay him a couple of bucks and go down to the tanning booth. So I think this is the best way. And, you know, someone wrote me this morning and said they run a tanning booth and how happy people look when they're leaving. And, of course, we see now a big report just this last week that in the winter months, with related to low levels of vitamin D, why senior Americans are getting more depressed, and the low vitamin D related to mental depression. So here we are, this story, wide sweeping, certainly a broad issue. The lack of vitamin D, it affects our mood, our arteries, our brain, our doesn't matter what it is, and our immune system, certainly protection from cancer. It's just so broad. And of course, how many medicines we would be put on if we're low in vitamin D? Haven't they engineered this so that then they could sell us all of those drugs?
Well, you know, it's very hard for people to honestly believe that, you know, the drug companies are not there to help us. But, you know, we carry a book that Bill had suggested to us, The Truth About the Drug Companies, by Dr. Marshall Angell, formerly the editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, the single most prestigious journal in America, on the staff at Harvard. And because she wrote the book, which we do carry, The Truth About the Drug Company, they came after her to make her life miserable. You see, you're not out there in the listening audience supposed to know what's going on. Just this last several days, on Sunday on CBS, they had a program on autism. They point out that one in every 150 children now has it. You know, in fact, in New Jersey, one in every 100 children has it. But oh, shucks, we have no idea why it's there, and there are no good treatments. All we can do is just try to get these children to, you know, play a little bit better. You know, we're going to spend, you know, tens of thousands of dollars every year on these children, and they know that they're effective treatments, and they know why it's happening. It's increased 60-fold, and they're lying to the American people. They understand that they're poisoning the American people with autism, Bill. People are calling in. They want to know where they can get the high-dose vitamin D.
Certainly, we can give you a phone number here online. You'll have to call them in the morning, 800-247-5731. 800-247-5731, and they can help you get that vitamin D. Or go to Knowledge of Health tomorrow morning, and you can be able to see where you can get the vitamin D. But, you know, we're here not for any commercial reason. We're here for your health. You can find the little low-dose 1,000s and 2,000s. At least start with those. None of this is expensive. And gee whiz, I buy my whole year's supply and, you know, have them at home and take them. I mean, this is just something we need to make a great health habit out of, and we've made it a habit to stay out of the sun, haven't we? Probably we need to go the other way around.
So. In a minute to that. Well, we'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. And our guest has been Bill Sardi. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Bill, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Certainly, if you're just tuning in and you're just wondering about what we're talking about, and, of course, what we are saying is that a sunshine vitamin that's been around for centuries, it's almost original modern human societies started around the area of the equator, and of course, is that people living in certain areas, we notice that multiple sclerosis is in northern climates, or among people now that we realize a big story a couple of weeks ago that multiple sclerosis, again, is vanquished by higher doses of vitamin D. This is, again, another one of those near autoimmune-type diseases. So we're wondering, you know, how far this goes, and this wonderful story that the two leading causes of mortality, heart disease and cancer, the reduction in heart disease, anticipated a reduction of 30-50%, a reduction in cardiovascular disease, heart attacks and strokes, up to 70% with a 7.3-cent vitamin pill every day. There is no drug that could, no treatment, no therapy that could ever be invented that will ever in your lifetime ever accomplish what I'm talking about today. And of course, it is the greatest advancement you will ever hear. And the poison of it all, the terrible part of it is we're not hearing about this from our public health authorities. They are simply absent. And so we need to take action on our own. If you're not convinced, go to the Knowledge of Health website, try to look at some of the references. Go to the Vitamin D Council website, vitamindcouncil.com, and look there and examine much of that, where you can see those are leading vitamin D researchers in the world pleading with us to start taking vitamin D supplements, to begin doing this. Dr. Robert P. Heaney from Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska, saying we need to start the idea of massive, across-the-board supplementation in the United States of vitamin D. It's a universal supplementation. Now, usually this is done with a food fortification. We fortify our foods. Unfortunately, again, our health authorities taking no action. We need to take action on our behalf and for our loved ones. This is something we need to do. Get that vitamin D. And, you know, I guess I'll promise to come ring your doorbell if you don't get started on this. So.
All right. Well, God bless you, Bill. Thanks very much. I think it's a fascinating subject.
It is a wonderful one.
Knowledgeofhealth.com. That's knowledgeofhealth.com. Go there. Get the information. Find out what you're not hearing from your doctor. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our program with Bill Sardi. And you really need to get many of these programs. We'll be putting them together in four tape sets. But in the program we did about 10 days ago on the whole statin scam, and it is a scam. You look at the statistics, and if you have never had a heart attack, and, of course, you get on the statin drugs, you know, statistically, why they do not prevent you from getting a heart attack or a stroke. And if you have had a heart attack, you're talking maybe about, at the most, a 3% reduction. And here, of course, in Japan, well, you're getting 50 to 60% reduction in the incidence of death due to heart disease simply by taking vitamin D. Now, which would you rather take, the statin drugs or, of course, vitamin D? Well, of course, we have a four-tape set on statin drugs. We have, you know, certainly a book on the statin drug scam, and it is a scam. And then, of course, if you want to know about autism, why we have a four-tape sets on autism, we actually have a wonderful video interview, actually a talk that Dr. Ayub gave at our last conference, on the mercury in the vaccines that they're giving to our children, specifically in the influenza vaccine. Why are we giving it to people? You know, when there's no evidence it helps the elderly, there's no evidence it helps the young, and they give it to children 6 months of age, and if your doctor insists that there's no mercury in the vaccines, in the childhood vaccines, ask him about the childhood vaccine that he gives to 6 months old, the influenza vaccine. Why are they giving it? Because it damages the brain and the fertility. And don't you worry, we may have taken it out of childhood vaccines here, but we keep it in vaccines that are given to children. Not more than that, we left it in the vaccines we're going to give to all those little black children in Africa. All those little black children in Africa are going to get mercury-laden vaccines because it will destroy their fertility. That's what it's all about. It's all about population control. If you haven't read my population control monograph, why, you can go up on our webpage and pull it down free of charge at 1-800-544-RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. If you'd like to get the videos and the four tape sets we talked about on mercury, certainly on autism, we have a great DVD called Thimerosal. We have another DVD called The Smoking Tooth. And you want to get the information. You want to understand that they're poisoning the American people. Why would anybody do that? Because there's some people who hate America. And there's some people who hate children. And people say to me, why, nobody would want to hurt children. And I say, if nobody would want to hurt children, why are they pushing partial birth abortion? Why are they pushing abortion here in America, where we've killed almost 50 million unborn children? Of course there are people who would like to hurt children. And if you wanted to do the maximum damage, where would you work? Would you work in a doctor's office in a little town? Or would you have a key job at the Centers for Disease Control? Remember, we gave them the responsibility for controlling AIDS, and they refused to do what was necessary. And over 570,000 Americans have died unnecessarily, and another many are infected. This didn't happen by accident. You need to get my material on planned population reduction. On population control, our video or our four-tape set. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is RadioLiberty.com. And you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day at one or another of the networks we're on. And you won't get anything accomplished, but you'll learn an awful lot. And we don't expect you to listen 5 hours a day, although you can go to RadioLiberty.com and listen to our programs there that are archived and MP3. We do hope that many of you will contribute to Radio Liberty. We need your help to maintain the foundation that we have, the network we have of almost 60 stations or outlets every single week. And then we ask you to pray for America, to pray for my ministry, for our provision and our protection. And again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
News on the Information Radio Network, I'm John Russell. White House Press Secretary Tony Snow says he wonders if Iran's making a serious offer when it says it will halt uranium enrichment if the West does as well.
That's not the way the UN Security Council resolution reads. We're perfectly happy to help Iran acquire civilian nuclear power. We are not, however, and the international community has made it clear that Iran should not be in a position to develop or possess nuclear weapons.
State Department spokesman Tom Casey says the United States condemns Sunday's deadly train bombing in India.
There is no political justification for violence against innocent people. Such action serves to spread fear, generate hate, and limit freedoms.
Casey went on to promise,
we will continue to support and work with both India and Pakistan in their efforts to halt extremism and counter